This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time. Turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
When it comes to hiring, don't search for a great talent. Match with them. Thanks to Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find qualified candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility. Go to Indeed.com/listen and tell them you heard about them from this podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
From KMOX Sports.
Okay, boys, here we go.
Welcome to the Grape Bar Sports Open Line.
Those mid swings, and he hits a drive. He hits a slammer.
Grape Bar, your distributor for electrical and datacom needs.
Touchdown, Kansas City.
Now, Matt Pauly.
Billikens win. Billikens win.
On America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
All right, man, let's get going here.
Here we go, here we go, here we go.
Let's go.
On a Monday night, we welcome you into another Grape Bar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. My name is Matt Pauly, coming your way today from the Missouri Athletic Club, host or the site of tonight's Jack Buck Awards, which you'll be able to hear live right here on KMOX. I guess we can call tonight's Sports Open Line kind of a Jack Buck Awards pregame show, as many of the honorees and presenters and folks that are being featured here tonight, we are going to bring on to the air. And this is going to be a whole lot of fun over the next couple hours. So we will take you until 8 o'clock. Tom Ackerman will take over at 8 o'clock. He is the master of ceremonies tonight for this great ceremony that's going to honor a good number of individuals. Honorees this year include Eli Drinkwitz, Brady Cook, Jeremy Backlund, Ken Hitchcock, and Chris Zimmerman. Other folks who are here include Mike Jones, Jim Montgomery, Josh Schertz, Luke Fonenseel, Laird Veach, Howard Richards, Doug Armstrong, Jim Woodcock. So really a very, very big group of St. Louis sports luminaries that are here, and we're going to talk with many of them over the course of this program here in hour number one. We are going to be joined by SLU Athletic Director Chris May. He's going to join us in about 10 minutes or so. And then Mark Schreiber from the St. Louis Sports Commission, he is scheduled to join us later on this hour as well. Always doing great work at the Sports Commission. You heard it in the news with Michael just a few moments ago that the Figure Skating Championship is going to be coming to St. Louis in front of the next Winter Olympics. So really, really big things happening with the St. Louis Sports Commission. And they work so incredibly hard to bring big events and support sports in St. Louis. So that's going to be kind of the main portion of today's show. We're going to be talking with people who are here for the Jack Buck Awards. That being said, I did want to start the program. I guess you can say we are in day number 8 of Nolan Arenado Watch. It was this day, last Monday. Really, it was about this time. It was, we spoke with John Mozeliak. It was around 5:15, 5:30 or so in Dallas last Monday when he kind of finally admitted that, yes, they do intend to trade Nolan Arenado. So here we are. The winter meetings are done. We're all back to our respective spots, and we're into day number 8 now of watching to see when this is going to happen. I continue to think it's going to happen sooner than later, as that's basically what we were told. Mozeliak, when he spoke with us, said that the expectation is that this is not something that is going to linger well past the new year, and it's still going to be something that's hanging out there as we're starting to talk about pitchers and catchers reporting. I think there's a very, very good chance that Nolan Arenado is traded away from the Cardinals before Christmas. If it doesn't happen before Christmas, at that point, probably likely to move on to the new year, but likely to get done at some point in the relatively near future. Certainly, that's not something that they want hanging over the heads of the organization as we get into a winter warm-up and Cardinals Caravan weekend. It just makes a whole lot of sense for this deal to get done, again, sooner than later. I think in some ways his market is still waiting out the Alex Bregman market, but in some ways they're for some teams, obviously they are connected, but for other teams, maybe not connected. There's been some reports out there that the Astros might not be quite as in on Bregman as you thought they were going to be. They had said that they definitely wanted to bring him back and that he was a priority. But as that money number continues to be in an area that maybe the Astros are not comfortable with, especially when you're talking about a guy who's already into his 30s and he wants a seven-year deal, getting just a few years of Nolan Arenado, even though a little bit earlier, or a little bit older, I should say, might be something that makes a little bit more sense for a team like the Astros. So we'll see. That's every day or every couple days, it feels like there's something new. For a while there, he was very much being connected to the New York Yankees, and then that kind of dissipated out, and we started to hear rumblings that maybe the Yankees don't love the idea of Arenado, don't feel like that his skill set would fit right in their ballpark. He's been connected to Boston, but Boston continues to say they're not looking to move Rafael Devers off of third base, even though there's been multiple reports indicating that Devers could potentially move off of third, and now you have the Astros. So those seem to be the three teams that are leading the way right now in conversations about Arenado: the Astros, the Yankees, and the Red Sox. At one point, the Padres were connected to him. If he went to the Padres, he'd have to move positions. Doesn't seem likely that he would go somewhere to be an everyday first baseman. And the Padres are trying to drop payroll like many teams across baseball. When the Cardinals are trying to get out from underneath the contract of Nolan Arenado, doesn't really feel like the Padres make sense in that area. But you know what? If all of a sudden the game of musical chairs plays out and everybody's got their third baseman and Arenado is still out there, maybe you come back around on something. But I really don't think it's going to come to that. I think a team is going to at some point make an offer that the Cardinals are comfortable with. I'm sure the Cardinals would love for there to be multiple offers that they are comfortable with, and then they can present those to Arenado. So we'll get into that maybe a little bit more as we go along through the course of the evening. We're going to take a break right now, though, and when we return, Chris May, the director of athletics for St. Louis University, he is going to join us in just a moment. This is the Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX. It's Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. We continue to come your way from the Missouri Athletic Club. Tonight it is the Jack Buck Awards. Our coverage of that begins at 8 o'clock. Tom Ackerman will serve as the MC, doing a great job with that, as he always does. And we're going to have a good number of folks who are here for the event tonight coming on with us. And right now, very happy to welcome on to the program. He is the athletics director over at St. Louis University. He is Chris May. Big day for the university. New university president coming in, who I'm sure you'll work very close with. Thanks for coming on the show today.
Yeah, thank you. Very, very excited to have our new president, Ed Faber, announced, and it's an exciting time for all of SLU, but it's a wonderful night here at the MAC, the Jack Buck Awards, who, you know, we celebrate the best of the best mm-hmm. in St. Louis, and we couldn't be more proud to be here and participate and enjoy the unbelievable city that we're in that celebrates sports better than any that I know.
Yeah, we have events like these and other cities just don't, and it's really cool that this is part of the fabric of St. Louis sports, and it not only does an organization and a venue have to come together, but people who are part of sports in the St. Louis area have to buy in as well, and people show up for events like these, and it's really something special.
It really is, and I've been blessed to come to this event many, many years, and to just see the excitement around our city and our community and our state and the great sports that happen here, from men's to women's. I mean, we've got we'll hear from all different sports here, but how this community pulls together. And that's what we're so blessed with at St. Louis University, is we've got a community that supports us in unbelievable ways, has put us in a position to really compete at high levels in Division I athletics, and that's what we're unbelievably proud of, and we're thrilled to be here to participate.
That leads me right into what we really want to talk about with you today, because it is a brave new world of college athletics, and it's changing literally on a day-by-day basis. Many things have been taken to through the legal system, and decisions are being made. Name, image, likeness is such a big part of what's going on. Facilities are a big part of what's going on. And I would argue, and I bet you would the same way, St. Louis University really punches above its weight when it comes to both facilities and also NIL with the collective and everything that's going on.
Well, we're super proud of the position we're in. From Chaffetz Arena to the Laughlin Family Champion Center puts us in an unbelievable position facility-wise. And really what the Billiken Victory Fund has been able to help us, and how we've been able to motivate and encourage our donor base to really support that, to help coach shirts and what we're doing in the men's basketball side. We've got some in the soccer side too, but we have come a long way in the NIL space, and we're going to come a lot further in the next 12 to 24 months. What's interesting about the business is with the House settlement coming in April, it really changes the game, and that's what you're talking to athletic directors all over the country, as I do. Everybody's working on what is the model that really works. What's the model that works for your institution? We are 100% committed to competing at the highest level in basketball. How do we do that? And what's the model that it looks like? And how do you look at institutions that are going to do that? So it's changing rapidly, but we couldn't be more fired up about St. Louis and what this community, that's what nights like tonight are. This community has been unbelievably supportive of the Billikens and what our program is all about. And so we couldn't be more excited about the future as it continues to evolve. And it's evolving super fast. And so we're embracing that, and we're fired up about what it looks like.
I don't want to get too far into the weeds here, but man, this is a complicated conversation. Are NIL collectives going to be as needed when we get to this next step, once these next laws go into effect?
Well, you know, time will tell and what the collectives' roles will be, given that much of the NIL very well will come in-house to institutions. And so, but it opens up a lot of doors. And so there will be collectives. People will use them in different ways. But a lion's share, as the House settlement rolls out on April 7th and things become legal this coming summer, or summer of 25, they'll take on a different role. But they've been super, super valuable to us, what the collective's done. We've got student athletes both being supported through the collective and directly with people and directly with corporations. And that's really what the NIL space is all about, is how do we encourage in our community to spend off the charts in really supporting our program and our student athletes and our coaches.
What's it been like for you, where you've been around college athletics for so long, and I'm sure there are some things that at times make you feel a little uncomfortable because it's not the world you've been used to living in?
Well, the world changed, and so we've embraced it, and we're going with the changes. And so, when you're in a competitive space as we are, you embrace those changes and you go for it. And again, it would be more of a challenge if you didn't have this unbelievable community behind you that really believes in the values you believe in and what St. Louis University really does well in putting young people in position to get great degrees, putting in young people in position to go compete at the highest of levels. Fortunately, we're pretty clear about that, and our community's just been off the charts in supporting us.
Where does the corporate community of St. Louis play into all this?
Hand in hand with the donor base and everywhere else. From the corporate, we've been very blessed to have a corporate community that really rallies around the Billikens and what we do. The Billiken Sports Properties is a group that's been taking the lead in our sponsorship space. Sponsors been off the charts supportive of us, and we've also got sponsors that are really supporting in the NIL space. But the whole community, from individuals to corporations to groups that are all out there in support of our student athletes, we are very grateful and appreciative for what they're doing.
You mentioned Billiken Sports Properties. I have to think Learfield is a company that's been right there in all these this NIL activity. There has to I don't want to use the word safety net because I think that's the wrong term to use here, but to have the kind of the backing of that corporate structure has to be something that you can rely on a little bit.
It really does. They've been an unbelievable partner for us for a long time, and they are at the cutting edge of what's going on in the corporate space in NIL and in the corporate sponsor world. And so they have done an unbelievably great job in supporting us, in growing our revenues, which goes straight to supporting our student athletes.
We're talking with SLU Athletics Director Chris May. Can you take me through a little bit? Because obviously when Coach Schertz came in and then the players he brought in, it was very much connected to NIL. What did those conversations look and sound like? What was that process like when, because this was really the first time a new coach is bringing in a new team. I mean, that's the moment where things kind of get interesting.
They do get interesting and they get fluid, but at the end of the day, it was Coach Schertz and his staff building relationships out there in the recruiting space and being competitive to be able to attract high-level student athletes to come be Billikens. And so it worked itself out well. We continue to be in the recruiting space, and that's a conversation that that happens with the coaches all the time. It's education. It's competitiveness, it's NIL, it's facilities, it's community, it's all of those things. All of them are part of the recruiting message to student athletes.
I have to think that a Jesuit university, there's at least a little guiding light there that maybe some other universities might not have.
It certainly is from a foundation, from a values foundation mm-hmm. perspective, no question. But there's also the guiding light about competing. And so we are working hard. We've got a bunch of fellow Jesuit institutions that are competing at high levels, and we're focused on doing the same.
Can the NCAA still put in guardrails?
Time will tell.
Yeah.
Time will tell. I think, Charlie Baker and his staff are working hard to put guardrails around it. Some people believe that with the administration change in D.C. that there's a chance of federal help. We're hopeful that that could happen, but the NCAA has had some challenges putting guardrails on anything mm-hmm. in recent years, and so we're focused on what we know the rules are today and doing everything we can to put Billiken student-athletes in position to compete.
It really feels like every time they put something in place, somebody challenges in a court, and then the judge says, nope, that just goes away.
You're a very good study.
It doesn't take much to see
it,
that.
It hasn't to date, but they're doing the best they can in a really changing environment that's changing really fast, and so I understand that. Again, we're just focused on take the guidelines that we've got today and run as hard as we can to put coaches in position to have success.
When you're at Chaffetz Arena, when you're at Herman State, anywhere, any SLU venue, and there's a game going on, are you able to just sit back and enjoy and watch?
I sit back and enjoy watching our coaches and our student athletes compete.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of the great parts of being an athletic director, watching them compete. There's all these other things that are happening at all at once, but it's not like sitting and watching a game that you don't have any vested interest in. That's a different fan that I don't experience a whole lot. But it's a great thing when you've got 18 to 22-year-olds competing in their sport that they're passionate about, getting an unbelievable degree at St. Louis University. We graduated 9 student athletes on Saturday, and we had a great event with their families afterwards. And when you see the joy and the passion of those young people in getting their degrees at SLU, they're going to go on to do great things. Some are going on to play soccer professionally. Others are going on to the corporate world already. But when you get to see young people getting their degrees and doing that while at the same time competing, that's in and of itself unbelievably rewarding.
I am in no way, shape, or form being dismissive of any athletic program that I don't mention. But when you think about SLU Athletics, you talk about basketball programs and the soccer programs.
Sure.
All 4 of them have a really great trajectory right now. How proud are you of that?
Well, super proud. And again, from the men's soccer team that were in their 51st NCAA tournament, the most of anyone. Women won a game in the NCAA tournament, won their 7th championship. Obviously, the women won the WNIT and the women's basketball. Baseball won the regular season in the spring, had another great year. The men's basketball were going through We're going through a moment here with Coach Schertz as he builds it and builds the foundation. And there are moments where they look unbelievably good, moments where we've got growth. And so it's very exciting to see young people competing, young coaches putting those pieces together. But the other piece is really exciting when you see communities that are so excited about what's going on. That to me, we're thrilled to have.
Chris, I really enjoyed this conversation. Thanks for coming on.
I appreciate it. Thanks, and have a great night here at the Jack Buck Awards dinner.
Awesome. Very good. That is Chris May, athletic director at St. Louis University. We'll take a break, and when we return, Mark Schreiber is going to join us. They had a big announcement, the St. Louis Sports Commission today. We'll do that coming up in just a moment here on KMOX. Sports Open Line on remote. We are at the Missouri Athletic Club for the Jack Buck Awards, which are taking place tonight. My name is Matt Pauley. We're going to have a number of St. Louis sports dignitaries making their way onto the program between now and 8 o'clock. And then at 8 o'clock, Tom Ackerman will take over as the master of ceremonies for tonight's event. And speaking of St. Louis sports dignitaries, we got one right now. He is the president of the St. Louis Sports Commission. He is Mark Schreiber. Big news earlier today. Mark, great to see you. How are you?
I am great, Matt. It's great to be at the MAC and wonderful to be with you and on KMOX. Thanks for having me.
What a cool event, and this just goes along with the uniqueness and really the coolness of the St. Louis sports culture.
Yeah, and uniqueness, I think, is the great word to use, and that's what we love to do. We're sort of at our best when we're adding depth and diversity to the local sports scene, and that's what you're getting with the U.S. Figure Skating Championships that we've been awarded and for January of 2026, and it's something very special for this region to be able to host that event.
Am I wrong in saying that a 13-month lead time is not a lot of time for an event like that?
You're exactly right. That is a short runway for us. I mean, gosh, you know, when we did the men's Final Four in 2005, we had 7 years to get ready for that. This is about as short as they come. That's not going to be easy, and we're going to need some help. But, you know, we're built for this. We're used to putting on major events, and so I've got all the confidence that we're going to pull it off and pull it off well.
Is that just how they do it? Is that the timeline, or is this a unique situation?
They've, I think, with their windows, have gotten shorter and shorter over time. I think part of their challenge, they have the World Championships that are being hosted in the United States in March, mm-hmm. and I think that puts the timetable back a little bit for an event like Nationals. And so I think it's just one of those things that just kind of happened this way. They probably all prefer to be a little bit further out, but it's the way the process went, and you know, you deal with it, you make the most of it, and we'll be fine. I mean, if we had the event awarded 3 years ago, we'd probably be jumping in a year in advance anyway to really get going. So it's all good.
So it's going to occur pretty much right before a Winter Olympics, is that
exactly
right?
Yeah, 4 weeks before the Olympics in Italy. So this is, in essence, the Olympic trials for figure skating. It's the last qualifying event. The U.S. team going to the Olympics will be named right here in St. Louis, right at the end of the event. So the stakes are high. And, you know, I said earlier today at the press conference, you know, we'd love to host Nationals any year. Mm-hmm. But to get it in an Olympic year, that's really tremendous.
I like, my wife loves the figure skate. Most people, that's as of all the Winter Olympic events, that's, if it's not the highest rated on TV, mm-hmm. it's one of the highest rated. And there's so much excitement about that leading into the Olympics. Like, I know when I tell my wife that this is coming to St. Louis, the first thing she's going to say is, we got to find a way to get there. We got to find a way to take our daughters, things like that. I mean, this is a really cool event at a perfect time.
That's what I love about this one. First, you're dealing with, you know, you could arguably say it is the most popular Winter Olympic sport. Hockey fans may argue with that, mm-hmm. but I think just in terms of ratings, probably figure skating tops everything. And I love the mass appeal. It's just what you talked about with your wife wanting to go is, you know, and that's, you know, we've got the NCAA wrestling championships in 27. We've got like different audiences, yeah. right? Different demos, but that's great when you can reach across the board. And again, the mass appeal of this event is really attractive to us and something to look forward to.
You mentioned the rest. I remember the first time I went to, because I was a high school wrestler, mm-hmm. and first, one of the first times St. Louis ever hosted, I went, all of our wrestling team was able to get off school, and we came down here. It was the year that Brock Lesnar was at Minnesota, and he won the heavyweight championship here in St. Louis. And I always tell people, like, whether you are an amateur wrestling fan or not, That's a crazy thing to go watch and experience, and I'm so glad that's going to be coming back to St. Louis as well.
Yeah, it's the most passionate, loyal fan base, I think, of any event and any sport. Those fans are so dedicated to that event, and it's really cool because even if you don't have sort of a dog in the fight, they all care about college wrestling so much. And so, you know, you saw it firsthand, and, you know, a great year to see it. Mm-hmm. And we're thrilled to have that one coming back, especially because of the impact that it has on downtown.
So many different fan, because so many universities are represented. Even if one kid from a college is coming in, the entire fan base for that school is there. That's one of the events that's walking around downtown St. Louis and seeing all the different universities represented is so cool.
Yeah, and we did a study once. The percentage of fans from out of town, it's over 90% that come in from outside of St. Louis to attend. And, you know, it's like you said, you could have one kid from a school, and that generates a huge fan base to come. And the interesting thing about wrestling, too, is, like, you'll see, like, Cornell will be going for a national championship, an individual national championship. Princeton's like these schools you never see typically in sort of, you know, the high profile team sports, but there they are having a chance to win a national championship.
We're talking with Mark Schreiber. He's the president of the St. Louis Sports Commission. At any given moment, how many proposals are you guys working on? Because I know you guys do a lot more than bring in events, but that's the thing that garners headlines.
Yeah. It's not like you have a bunch of bids in at once, but it's more how many are on the target list and what are you working toward. So, you know, we just got an RFP for the 2028 Olympic gymnastics trials, so we'll get working on that. You know, top of the list for us, though, is trying to get the Missouri-Illinois football game going again. Yeah. Here in St. Louis, you know, trying to work that. The NCAA Women's Volleyball Championship, that's the highest profile championship NCAA-wise we've yet to host. Next opportunity for that will be the fall of 2028, but we're laying the groundwork. We'll be traveling to Louisville for that event this weekend just to build relationships. And so even though there may not be, you know, there's probably only one bid in play at the moment, there's a bunch of things we're working at any given time. And on top of that, trying to get ready for the Hockey Frozen Four in April.
So if I look over and I see you talking with Eli Drinkwitz and Laird Veach, can I just assume that you're working that Missouri-Illinois angle in there?
That'd be perhaps a good assumption. Although they know, I don't need to go up to them tonight. they're well aware of our interests. But yeah, we want to see that happen.
One of the probably most complicated things about all of this that people don't think of is basically holding venues dates, because if you put in a proposal for something, you got to tell the Enterprise Center, we got to have these dates available, and then you release the dates. Obviously, if you don't get it, you have it if you do, but there has to be a buy-in, not just from your staff and the St. Louis sports community, but these venues whose jobs it is to bring in events and make money and do those sort of things. I'm sure many times they're holding dates for you.
You make a great point, and it's one of those underappreciated points. And, you know, like Enterprise Center is outstanding about that. So such good partners, and they had to do that for figure skating, hold the dates. And now, you know, it's a week where the Blues have to be on the road, but they understand and believe in the importance of these and willing to do that. Same thing for the Dome. And you know, one of the events we'd love to bring to St. Louis is the U.S. Olympic swimming trials. They were in Indianapolis at Lucas Oil Stadium. That's basically 6 weeks where you have to take the venue out of commission. So to your point, there's a lot that goes into that, whether you can actually shut down a venue for that long.
It's the logistics. I just got to think the logistical issues that hit your desk on I don't know if it's a daily basis, but pretty often, you've got a lot to work through.
Yeah, and, you know, we're lucky that we have wonderful partners. We have a great staff that works on all this. And, you know, that's part of the ball game is just dealing with that, and that's what we try to do.
I've got some bias to me here, but I don't think any city does big sporting events better than St. Louis. The support from a corporate standpoint, from a fan standpoint, what is it about the fabric of St. Louis that when you guys bring events in, you can have all the confidence in the world that they're going to be well supported?
This is just an excellent sports town. We all know that, I think, locally, but people outside of St. Louis realize that as well. And our fans step up, the business community steps up, as you said. And so there's sort of a track record of success. And I think the biggest thing is confidence and faith that St. Louis is going to come through. If you ask our partners at the NCAA or U.S. figure skating, I think they would tell you, you know, folks in St. Louis, it's a good group, mm-hmm. and we can count on them to do a great job.
Is it important, let's talk about NCAA events, is it important for the relationship with the NCAA that you're not just going for basketball, that you are diversifying the different NCAA events that you bring in?
It's a really good question, and at times in their bid processes, I would say, yeah, we've had to shoot for or aim for some of the lower profile championships. I'm talking about Division II wrestling. We even, this last bid cycle, we put in a bid for the Division II Sports Festival, the Spring Sports Festival, okay? You know, that's not, it's going to be a great event for St. Louis because it's going to bring a lot of people to town, but, you know, you guys aren't going to be having me on doing an interview because we got the D2 Sports Festival. But part of why we do that, one, we've got great partners from a college institution standpoint, but also because that sets us up well. We're, okay, we'll take that on, and you know what? That may give us an edge to get Division I wrestling. So, yeah, that all gets put into the equation. And for us, though, you know, we still shoot high. We want those high-impact, high-value events, and that's why we talk about basketball and wrestling and women's volleyball. Hopefully we get the women's Final Four back here one day. And if we really want to shoot high, I'd love one day for the men's Final Four to come back here.
I think everybody would be in favor of that. Is, again, going kind of the diversity of things, St. Louis in the area, you have major power schools with Missouri and Illinois just down the road. You have SLU, you have the Missouri Valley teams. Then we get into, you know, the various D2s and D3s that are in the area. Is it important to have all those things here because just in the NCAA is able to look at the market and see that you already have inroads in those various levels?
Yeah, and I'd say one of the most valuable things, it's the presence of like the Missouri Valley Conference. You talk about people having faith in rights holders, having faith that you're going to be able to produce a good event. Like, the Valley's the pro when it comes to that with postseason basketball. So we're so fortunate. St. Louis U, again, great partner. And so we're really fortunate. It's not so much just the presence of the programs, you know, from a standpoint of community interest and so forth, but it's being able to tap into those partners and have those relationships that can help produce those events at a high level.
Let me finish you with this because you bring up Arch Madness. At that level of college basketball, we see a lot of leagues trying to figure it out, going to new cities, putting in new bids, maybe going to campus sites, like all those things. It's pretty special that that event is here, it is thriving, and it's going to be here for a while.
Yeah, of its peers, Valley, far and away, you know, greatest conference tournament. In you know, cool stat is second longest running tournament at one neutral site of any, next to the Big East. And that's a real tribute to the event that they put together and the community support that exists. So we're very lucky to have Arch Madness here in St. Louis.
Mark, great to get to know you a little bit. Thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you, Matt. Great to be with you.
That is Mark Schreiber. He is the president of the St. Louis Sports Commission. One more break. We'll come back, wrap up hour number one of the program. It's Gray Bar Sports Open Line on KMOX. Starting to wrap up hour number one of the program. You might be able to hear the background noise. That's because people are making their way in here at the Missouri Athletic Club. Tonight it is the Jack Buck Award. So this is what's going to take place over the next few hours here on KMOX. At 7 o'clock, that's when the dinner begins. We're going to try to bring up as many people as possible to talk with over that hour. And then at about 8 o'clock, that's when we are going to hand things off to Tom Ackerman. He is going to serve as the master of ceremonies tonight and going to really just preside over a fantastic evening celebrating everything that is good when it comes to St. Louis sports. And the thing that really jumps out at me and stands out about my conversations with Mark Schreiber and Chris May, who joined us here this hour, I liked it when I referred to the uniqueness of this event, and it was said, you know, that's the correct word to use. And really, I think you look at the St. Louis sports community, and obviously a night like this, it's a night to pat ourselves on the back a little bit because there are a lot of communities that do not have nights like these and events like these, or maybe they have just one. And we're coming off a time of year where we just had the Musial Awards down the street a few days ago, and now we've got this, and the Herman Award will be given out here in the relatively near future, which is obviously just a huge award when it comes to college soccer. And I was looking through the program for this event tonight, and I can't tell you how many different events are going to be coming up that the MAC is going to host. And it is just incredibly cool that we do have this many events like this, and that the St. Louis sports community is able to support events like these. And that's why, going back to what Mark Schreiber had to say, that's why he's able to announce today that the figure skating championships will be coming to St. Louis, and they've got about 13 months to prepare for a huge event, and that's going to be no problem whatsoever. All right, so that is it for hour number one. I'd love to tell you who's going to be coming up during hour number two, but you know what? I don't know for sure. We will just wait and see what it looks like. So that's all coming up. This is a Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX. Everybody has made their way into the hall, and they are having themselves a good meal. And then, like we said, we are going to take live this evening at 8 o'clock the Missouri Athletic Club's Jack Buck Awards. We just missed it. She talked about the importance of KMOX when it comes to this event, and how Jack Buck, a member of the Missouri Athletic Club, such a big part of obviously these awards, follow his namesake, and how KMOX has continued to air these awards on a year after year after year basis, and we try to support them in any way possible. And it is really just a special evening, and we are glad to be able to be here tonight. So with that being said, we do welcome you back in. It is a Graybar Sports Open Line here on KMOX. My name is Matt Pauly. We hope to be able to talk with a few folks before all is said and done here in this 7 o'clock hour, so we'll work on that as we do go along throughout the rest of this hour here on the program. We're also talking a bit about what's going on with the St. Louis Cardinals, waiting to see whether or not Nolan Arenado is going to get moved here sooner than later. It is my contention, my belief, that it is going to happen. It's been now more than 1 week since Cardinals President of Baseball Operations John Mozeliak did make the announcement last week at the winter meetings in Dallas that they would be looking to move Arenado, and it was their intention to trade Arenado, and they wanted to do it sooner than later. The market on third baseman has not moved maybe the way some of the other markets have moved, and the fact that the Houston Astros are a part of this, and now they just got Isak Paredes. Kyle Tucker was traded from the Astros to the Cubs, and Paredes goes back to the Cubs in that move. So they don't for sure have a spot open at third, but Paredes is somebody who could potentially move over to first base. In fact, it was reported that Paredes, the Astros were interested in him at the trade deadline last year, and at the time they were thinking about moving him over to first base. So if that were to happen, then there is still a spot for Nolan Arenado. We had talked about the potential of Nolan Arenado and Paul Goldschmidt ending up in the same place, which would be kind of funny. And at one point it looked like Houston could be that place where they could both go. That probably, in all likelihood, has gone out the window now that that Isak Paredes ends up going to the Houston Astros. I do think from a conversation of the NL Central, the more important conversation to have right now is what the division looks like now that the Kyle Tucker move has been made. And not so much that single move has been made, but more about what that move represents. It has always been my belief that the Cubs were going to be the most aggressive team in the NL Central this offseason, which I don't like saying that, by the way. That is something that I am very uncomfortable with. I don't like the idea that they are the team that seemingly is going to be going for it. But last year, their manager, Craig Counsell, in one of his end-of-season or towards the end-of-season news conferences, he made the point when the Cubs had underachieved last year that they have to be able to build a roster that can be a 90-game winner. And when he made those comments, I thought to myself, this isn't a guy just like going rogue and saying that. This is somebody who is having conversations with individuals in that organization and feels like they know what direction they can go over the offseason. So the Cubs make their first big splash. They go get a Kyle Tucker. I unfortunately don't think they're done. They're already the betting favorite to win the NL Central next year. They were the betting favorite before the Tucker move. I don't think they were the betting favorite based off their roster. I think they were the betting favorite based off just the industry kind of scuttlebutt that the Cubs still had moves to make. And when you look at the division right now, you have a Cubs team that just got Tucker and will probably make more moves. You have a Brewers team, and we really didn't get the chance to talk about this. I was off on Friday, and Jen Cease did the show. But the Devin Williams move that the Brewers made makes the Brewers better. It makes them better because they're not going to have a hard time filling the closer's role. Williams missed half the season this past year, and they had McGill, who went in and did a really nice job. And before McGill got the closer's job, they had Uribe, and both those guys are on the roster. So the Brewers got better when they made that move, also because Nestor Cortes, he's a solid middle-of-the-rotation starter. Have you seen how much middle-of-the-rotation starters are making this offseason? They're making like $20 million a year. The Brewers do not have $20 million a year to go sign a pitcher. So they needed a starter. They get a starter. They get salary relief. There's been some reports saying they got $4.5 million back. Other reports saying it's closer to $2 million back. The Devin Williams and Nestor Cortes salaries are going to be very similar this year. MLB Trade Rumors has each of those guys at an arbitration projection of $7.7 million. And they got a young infielder who's at the AAA level who is going to be able to step in. And depending on what they do, they are looking to replace Willy Adames, and they may end up moving someone to shortstop as they go through that process. There's some guys that they can move from one, Ortiz or Terang, a couple guys that they could move from second or third to shortstop. And then whichever one of those two spots, second or third, is open, this kid Durbin that they ended up acquiring could go in there. So it was just a very smart move for the Brewers. Losing Adames is a huge deal for them. I'm not trying to completely be dismissive of that, but their most recent move makes them better. The Cincinnati Reds just hired Terry Francona. A guy like Francona does not take that job without some type of assurances that the team is going to try to win. And we can argue all we want whether or not the Reds have been trying to win. And then I'm not a big believer in the Pirates. I don't think they're going to do much of anything this offseason, but you can't help but look at their great pitching. They've got as deep of a rotation. Maybe they do have the deepest rotation in the National League Central, led by a guy in Paul Skenes, but they have Mitch Keller, they have Jared Jones, they've got guys, and they've got a lot of young players as well who are having a hard time staying healthy, but are exciting young players. So where do the Cardinals fit in all of that? And I don't know the answer to that question right now. Basically, from an odds perspective, the Cardinals and Pirates have the same odds to win the division. They're basically tied for last to win the division. The odds makers don't think that much of the Cardinals right now, and it's going to be an offseason where they don't make a lot of moves. But at the same time, and I've said this over and over, this next year, any success that they might have will be predicated upon young players taking a step forward. And if you do get Jordan Walker, if you do get Nolan Gorman to take those steps forward, then absolutely they are going to they've got a chance to be a better offensive club. The question remains, are they going to trade an Eric Fetty? I think they should. It makes so much sense to trade Eric Fetty. Even when you look at, and I'm not being dismissive of what the Brewers got back for Devin Williams, but in many ways, it almost feels like maybe Fetty has more value now than even Ryan Helsley, because of, I wouldn't say that the return on Williams was underwhelming, and it's also not an apples to apples, because if the Cardinals trade Ryan Helsley, they're not looking for the same type of players that the Brewers were looking for in giving up Devin Williams. It's just you're not looking for a major league starter with 1 year left of club control. You're not looking for an infielder that doesn't have a super high ceiling but can help you the next season. Like that's just not what the Cardinals are looking to add. The Cardinals are looking to add prospects that can be added into the system even if they're a couple, two, 3 years away. So it's hard to compare the Williams trade and what the return was to a potential Helsley trade and what the Cardinals could potentially get back for him. But to me, it feels like maybe you lower the expectations a little bit on a potential Helsley trade based off the return that the Brewers ended up getting for Devin Williams. All right, we're going to take a break, and when we come back, we are scheduled to be joined by Laird Veach. He is the athletic director at the University of Missouri. We are, we're athletic director central right now. We had Chris May on the program earlier, and Laird Veach is going to join us coming up in just a moment or so. We are live at the MAC tonight. It is the Jack Buck Awards, and we'll come back with more in just a moment or so right here on KMOX. It's Graybar Sports Overline right here on KMOX. My name is Matt Pauly. We are broadcasting from the MAC. You can probably hear all the ambient noise behind us. It's a loud group of people here for the Jack Buck Awards, which we will broadcast live starting at 8 o'clock. We are very honored to welcome onto the show right now. He is the athletics director at the University of Missouri. He is Laird Veach. Laird, appreciate you taking some time with us. How are you?
Yeah, great. I'm having a good time this evening. A lot of Mizzou folks in the crowd. It's a fun evening. My first time to be at this event, so excited to see it.
And you see what's going on in both Kansas City and St. Louis, two metro areas. It's really a benefit because two great sports communities on each side of Columbia.
Yeah, absolutely. I find myself just half of my week every week is one or the other. I'm back and forth in St. Louis and Kansas City a bunch, even more here in St. Louis. So it's fun to see.
Have you been able to catch your breath? You're still relatively new on the job at Mizzou in your current job. You've got history with the athletic department, but in your current position at Mizzou, still relatively early on in your tenure.
Yeah, really just started back this summer. So it's been great to be back because, we were talking earlier. I was here many years ago, but I don't know if I've quite caught my breath yet, but we're working on it. It has been a whirlwind, but as crazy as college athletics is right now and all the change and things we're dealing with, it's fun to be at Mizzou. I mean, there's so many positive things happening. The momentum is very real and obvious, and so it's a lot of fun to be in a place where people are excited, a lot of positivity, and just a lot of support. It's been fun.
I had SLU AD Chris May on earlier on the program, and we really only talked about name, image, likeness, and the new era of college athletics we live in. How much more challenging is it right now working in college athletics where on a day-by-day basis things are changing and then there's going to be a huge change coming up right around the corner as well?
Yeah, it is really challenging. What's hard about it to me, personally what I struggle with is you're focusing so much time and energy and thought on managing the change, navigating where we're headed, how we're going to position ourselves, doing the right things to position ourselves as a department to be successful in this new era. And what you find yourself is just not being able to do the fundamentals as much as you want, just to be with people. We're really trying to focus on being in St. Louis and calling on our folks and meeting with corporate partners and meeting with donors and doing all those things, but so much of it you have to be there with your people trying to figure all this out. So it's challenging, but at the same time it's also kind of exciting because we get to be part of sort of charting the course for the next evolution of college athletics in so many ways, and to be at a Mizzou to do that is pretty awesome because we do have the platform, we have the people, we have the resources and commitment from our leadership. There's so many positive things that at least we're in a position to navigate it where so many are struggling to do that.
Do you have to choose, I don't know if this is going to make sense, but do you have to choose kind of what to go all in on? Like collectives, NIL collectives have been such a big deal. We don't know what those are really going to look like once the next legal stuff goes into effect. So there's going to be schools that have put so many resources into that, and then all of a sudden you're going to be pulling out of that and putting that in other places. That's got to be one of the challenging parts of this, about what's happening that's actually going to be sustainable.
Yeah, absolutely. But actually at Mizzou, because we're in the state of Missouri with our state law and with the structure that was put together here to sort of navigate NIL, what we have created here well before my time, but it is more of what it's headed for next. So we've got this sort of advantage of our structures in place in many ways of what it's going to look like in the next model. So you're right. It is really challenging in a lot of places. That's one of our advantages. For us, we've got to continue to focus on how do we be more efficient and effective at how we operate on a daily basis. Think about how we're investing our resources, but also grow our revenues. And it sounds so like, you know, AD speak to be out there saying, hey, we got to grow revenues, right? But we really have to be competitive. I mean, that is like the front line of competition now, is what you're willing to invest in your programs, right? You know, we have this like moniker where they're trying to really build of a will to win at Mizzou at a level and a commitment to that we've maybe never had before, to see the kind of experiences like Final Fours and national championships and SEC championships, college football playoffs, those kind of things. But we've got to be willing to invest at a level that we've never invested before and able to realize that. And it's more so than it's ever been. It's just like right there in front of you. What you invest is what you're going to realize out of it in terms of, now you have to have the right coaches. You have to have the right, the right players and do all those things along with that. But in a lot of ways, I feel like we have that right now in Mizzou. We've got really good coaches, really good staff. A lot of commitment. Now we got to invest in that to realize the benefits.
And they're tough to sell. Tickets prices are going up. That was announced somewhat recently. I know you guys don't make decisions like that lightly, but it's all part of what college athletics is right now. And I would think most, not all, but most Mizzou fans are understanding of their part of the ultimate goal of winning at the highest level.
Yeah, I've been super encouraged by the response we've been getting from the Mizzou fan base about that. When you increase ticket prices, particularly when you increase them as significantly as we have and go through this kind of restructure, you get a lot of pushback. And certainly there's questions and there's challenges. There's some people that just aren't in a position to do what we're asked, so we're going to find other opportunities for them. But the response has been overwhelmingly positive, and just recognizing that it's a necessity, right? We've got to do this to be competitive, and we are committed to doing what it takes to win. So I've been really, really thankful and appreciative of the fan base and just their understanding of where we're at, their recognition of what's happening, and I think it's reflective of their desire to win at the highest level, right? They people want to win, and they're willing to step up and be a part of the solution to get there.
We're talking with Mizzou Athletics Director Laird Vecha. Another really good year for Missouri football, and it feels like under Coach Drink, like this is one of the golden eras of Mizzou football, and it's a great spot to be in where you can have the kind of season that you had, and fans are still wanting more because that means expectations have been raised.
Yeah, absolutely. It's exactly what you want. While it can be kind of disappointing and frustrating sometimes and not quite have the level of joy and excitement of getting a 93 season can have, at the same time, that's exactly where you want to be, right? In order to achieve the kind of things that we want to, we need this to be like just the baseline normal, and then we're going to get to that next level and keep climbing the mountain, so to speak. So it is fun to be at a place where we're on the rise and we are doing the right things to where this is the nine wins is kind of the expectation, right? And then get to 10 wins is the expectation, and 11, find a way to get into that college football playoff and find a way to take that next step to really win in the whole thing.
What type of discussions are being had among you and your peers about football scheduling? Because Alabama made some comments, and really they didn't make sense to me because it wasn't about their non-conference scheduling that kept them out of the college football playoff. Is there pressure, and others talk about maybe adding the one more conference game, we'll see if the SEC does that at some point or not, but as we are in this college football playoff era, what kind of conversations are being had about the way that SEC schools should be scheduling non-conference?
I think we're really at a point where this is obviously the first year of the 12-team playoff, and where we're all having to kind of watch this as we go and learn from it and be willing to adjust. So I do think there will continue to be evolution to the playoff model, to scheduling models, and we're going to have to do things that make it motivational for teams to play other big brands, right? Because if that's what TV wants, if that's what fans want, we have to have a structure that reflects that, right? That makes that motivational and rewarding to teams that do it. So I think we're going to have to see adjustments as we go forward here, but that's, you know, that's something I see more in, you know, over the next year as we go, we process how this went, we look at the next season, process how that went, and really start thinking about what it looks like after that. We're obviously going to have to adjust.
After the NFL, SEC football is probably the most powerful TV package that's out there right now. The TV numbers for the year just came out, and ESPN ABC was all over it. How much can those TV partners impact some of these decisions?
Yeah, significantly, and they need to, right? I mean, that we are partners, and obviously there is a financial incentive for that, but it's also, I mean, so much of what the benefit that we bring to our institutions, to our states, in terms of, you know, brand awareness and exposure for the university, for the state of Missouri, is tied into those television contracts, right? I mean, that's how we are broadcast out, literally out to the nation. So it's a really important relationship, and it's mutually beneficial beyond just the financial piece. So they have to be a huge partner in that.
Just a couple more moments with Mizzou Athletics Director Laird Veach. Mizzou basketball just had an incredible moment in that win against Kansas. That took everybody back to, you know, Norm versus Roy and things like that. I mean, that's what college basketball and college athletics is supposed to be.
Yeah, well, and as you know, being a guy that spent about 8.5-9 years here at Mizzou before, and a guy that actually grew up in Manhattan, Kansas, mm-hmm. and, you know, played at Kansas State, there is literally nothing short of, like, my wedding day and my children being born. There's nothing more satisfying than beating those guys. So it was an incredible moment. I enjoyed it just as much as all of our fans, and it is incredibly impactful to what it can do to sort of launch a season. And so it's going to be fun to watch, see what happens from here, kind of building on that.
And it's promising for Coach. There was no doubt that Coach Gates is a really, really good coach. He had that great first year, and then just kind of the organic way things happen in college basketball. Last year, the program takes a step back. It's a really good sign to see what the program's doing right now in his third season.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, obviously from a talent level, it's encouraging, but just watching him and how he managed that game and the adjustments he made, the way he managed his roster, and even down to the way he managed those last few moments of the game and calling a timeout, giving the team, the KU team, time to kind of make sure they're safe getting off the court. All that sort of, you know, awareness and thoughtfulness was really impressive to me as I watched him operate. I've been super impressive with how he holds himself, how he manages things behind the scenes. So I'm really encouraged that, you know, that's another program that's in a really good spot and in really good hands.
Really appreciate you taking some time. Great to know you a little bit.
Yeah, you too. Enjoyed it. Take care. M-I-Z.
Very good. That is Laird Veach. We'll take a break and have more coming up in just a moment. It's a Gray Bar Sports Open Line on KMOX. Our Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. My name is Matt Pauley, continuing to broadcast live from the MAC. Tonight it is the Jack Buck Awards, and just about every St. Louis sports dignitary is here. That includes Chris Zimmerman, CEO of the St. Louis Blues. He joins us right now. Chris, great to see you. Thanks for taking some time with us tonight.
Well, it's great to be here. Very cool, as we were just saying, that you guys have had this great tradition of carrying this event.
The right now, with this Blues team, how much added excitement and energy is there maybe just in the business offices based off everything going on with Coach Montgomery and the way the team is playing?
Yeah, you know, you feel it immediately when our fan base is excited. The players are excited. There's another, you know, a little bit more jump in everybody's step, and that goes right, funnels right into the office, I assure you.
It's there's the excitement, and I'm not trying to take anything away from what we've seen over the last couple years, but it's amazing how one move and one very charismatic individual can walk through the door, and it just almost in many ways feels like a new season.
Well, so many things were obviously right about Monty coming back to the Blues, and that opportunity presented itself for us to bring back one of the game's absolute best coaches. And as we look both to this year and the years ahead and what Doug Armstrong and Alexander Steen and the group is doing, adding that type of coach, it's another major step for us getting back to being one of the top contenders.
One of the cool things that this event really shows is how much all aspects of the St. Louis sports community works together. I had Mark Schreiber on earlier from the St. Louis Sports Commission, and they made a big announcement today that the figure skating championships are going to be coming to St. Louis a year from January. So the Blues have to be in agreement with that, because that means you're going to have to clear out some dates at Enterprise Center where you're not able to play and things like that. It's just, to me, that's another example of everybody working together for the good of St. Louis sports.
Yeah, I think that, as you may know, I mean, the St. Louis Sports Commission is, quite honestly, they're one of our most critical partners. Our work with them to bid on NCAA events, gymnastics, trials, whatever the case may be, that's part of who we are, and that's part of the mission, to recognize that our ability to attract the top sports championships across college and other governing bodies, that's, as I said, that's part of our DNA. We recognize the importance to the city, to our business community, and we love to be in those fights.
And speaking of the Frozen Four, it's going to be in St. Louis. It's been here before, but it's going to be in St. Louis. That's another thing that the Blues can be involved with and really kind of be ambassadors to the hockey community and the St. Louis sports community.
Yeah, you know, ever since I've gotten here, we've been talking about getting the Frozen Four back to St. Louis. And so when we were awarded the 2025 Frozen Four, that throughout our whole organization, that is a great accomplishment. And right now, so I look at the local organizing committee and see the way that so many people from all parts of government, business, the local hockey community are coming together to make sure that we put on a really great event.
You mentioned the hockey community, and I don't mean to bring this down, but we had the tragic situation recently with Colin Brown, who passed away, and immediately the Blues had patches and moments of silences, and it's a big city and there's lots of people here, but when it's hockey, the community always supports each other, and you hate a situation like that, but the Blues were right there to, you know, show their thoughts in that.
Yeah, well, it goes unsaid that was an incredibly tragic, awful, horrific outcome.
Yeah.
I mean, I got to meet Colin's parents. The strength that they have showed, and I think, as they said to me, part of it, the hockey community rallying around their son, has made this tragedy just a little bit easier. And you know, again, I'd say it's part of our DNA to try to find ways that we can step in and support not just the hockey community, but the community in general.
Yeah, 100%. I think the Blues are amazing stewards at that. I appreciate that. When you think about where we're at right now in sports in this market, sports gambling has been legalized. That's something that the teams are supporting. The FanDuel Sports Network thing got figured out. The Cardinals have obviously been dealing with that. I got to think that those two things took up a lot of your time recently. And I know there's still unknowns in TV future and all that. But are you able to breathe a little bit easier just knowing that those two big projects, at least for the moment, are kind of off to the side?
Well, it is. We're certainly pleased that the sports betting amendment that got approved, and that the people of Missouri has spoken, and so we're excited to launch that. That's obviously an important business initiative, and yeah, regional sports television You're right. These two topics have taken up a lot of time. There's a lot of change going on. And, you know, there's a little bit of the continued assessment of what's next. And we, you know, right now we're proud to be partners with FanDuel. And quite honestly, it's quite impressive that they've emerged from their bankruptcy. So I don't know where the musical chair stops on that one. But, you know, ultimately, for us, it's about delivering our games and building a fan base. And we feel really honored that we have the kind of support we have, and we'll keep focusing on that.
In a recent Post-Dispatch story, Anouk Kurunturante from the Cardinals mentioned the fact that they see a lot of value in being on the same TV network as the Blues, that they think that's an important thing. Does it work for you as well? Do you see the value in being on the same network as the Cardinals?
Yeah, I mean, from the day I got here, I recognized that the St. Louis Cardinals are one of the most iconic brands in sport. And we love working with the Cardinals, quite honestly. We love being partners with all of the professional teams in St. Louis. But yeah, I think when you think about year-round sports viewing, the Cardinals and Blues being together, that makes a lot of sense.
Chris Zimmerman is the CEO of the St. Louis Blues. Thank you so much for taking some time with us tonight. This is great.
Thanks so much, Matt.
We will take a break. Have more coming up in just a moment right here on KMOX. Into our final segment here, but you are not going to want to go anywhere as we do have the actual award ceremony. We are broadcasting live from the MAC. It is the Jack Buck Awards this evening, and our coverage of the awards set to begin as soon as we get done with this show at 8 o'clock. And the person who's going to be emceeing the presentation tonight, you hear a lot of them here on KMOX. He is our own sports director. He is Tom Ackerman, and he joins us right now. Tom, appreciate you taking the time. Are you all set to go for tonight?
I am set to go. It's great to be with you. Yeah, I am. I love this event. It is one of the great nights in St. Louis sports. And through the years, you know, you can just feel the energy in the room, and you can feel the tradition of it. I've actually been chatting with a lot of people who come back to this event every year, and they are pulled by the tradition. You know, I think of all the names who have been here, who have been awarded here, who presented here, who have experienced this. And usually the case, when you experience this for the first time, you are kind of taken aback by how powerful the room is. And it's a great celebration of St. Louis sports.
The synergy that exists with all the different outlets of St. Louis sports. You know, on this program, we've had athletic directors on from Mizzou and SLU. We had Chris Zimmerman on from the Blues. We had a representation with Mark Schreiber and the St. Louis Sports Commission. It really feels like we're pretty good at everybody pulling in the same direction if it's going for the good of St. Louis sports culture.
I would agree with that. I think that, you know, we have it so good in that this atmosphere here, this town, you know, we hand sports down through the generations. You know, we are a good-sized market. I mean, we have about 3 million people in this area, in this region. But a lot of people stay here and, you know, hand it down from family to family. So, you know, I grew up here, as did you, and I feel like I know all about Stan Musial, Bob Gibson, Lou Brock's career, but I never saw them play. I was born in 1975, but I feel that because I heard it from my dad, from my family members, from Jack Buck, from the stories that are told on the air, that you feel like you know them and that you got to see them, even though we didn't see them in person. We're told about them. We know about the history of the Blues, and the Blues are old enough now that they have generations of fans, over 50 years of history. And, of course, St. Louis University basketball, the newcomer's city, the great soccer history, though, behind it goes back over a century, and on it goes. I mean, it is a very special town in that way. You know, I don't know of a town, of a city, where sports are as important to the city as they are to St. Louis, where without sports, the city does not have the same kind of firepower. Sports really do drive us in a lot of ways. Mark Schreiber, who you just had on, that's a big win for the city of St. Louis, getting the U.S. Figure Skating Championships puts more eyeballs on St. Louis, but it brings more tourists in. It brings more attention to who we are. And that's how we've been able to move a lot of things here in this town, is through sports.
And we support the, from a corporate standpoint, these events get supported, which is a credit to the corporations that are based in St. Louis. But then from a fan support standpoint, when we have these big one-off events, these athletes, these participants come in, and they always say, wow, that we don't see that kind of support anywhere else.
No, that's true. And, you know, I think that, you know, when you see the Cardinals have no fans in the seats in August and September, and some people nationally were questioning whether Cardinals fans are in. Oh, they're in. Mm-hmm. Believe me, actually, that's part of it. They were sending a message. Cardinals fans are smart. Blues fans are smart. Soccer fans in this town, you don't have to teach them very much. They're smart. They've been around. They know the game. And they were sending a message to the Cardinals that they want change. And what was the Cardinals' first word in their press conference after the season? Change.
Change.
It's exactly what they were ready. And I think a lot of fans said, finally, and this is what we want. And, you know, the support for the team will be there. It is there. We see it every day in our interactions, whether it's radio, Gas House Gang, whatever the case may be, Twitter. The fans are there. Blues fans are there, hanging on everything. College basketball, college football. You know, you go right down the list of sports. When we throw big events as well, St. Louisans turn out for those events, whether it's the PGA Championship, NASCAR Cup, everything in between. There is a strong community, a lot of pride, that people want to get it right around here. I've always said that Blues fans, if you really listen to the crowd, especially when you're in the 300 level of a game, they know the game.
Mm-hmm.
When you're at Cardinals games, Cardinals fans want one thing first. They love the Cardinals, don't get me wrong, but they love baseball, and they want baseball played well. That's why they applaud the opponent when they do something well. They want to watch baseball, and they want to see it played at the very, very best, at the highest level. And you just name the sport, the same thing applies. That's how fans are here, and that's where it all comes from. It really is.
Have about a minute left before we hand things off to you officially for the night to take over here. What are fans going to experience, listeners going to experience, for the next couple hours?
I think you're going to hear, and you know, it'll end at about 9:40-ish is my guess. So you hear about a 90-minute presentation of some very enthusiastic people when it comes to what they've accomplished. Eli Drinkwitz, Brady Cook, Jeremy Maclin. That is a Mizzou trio that will be celebrated tonight, and it should be. Missouri is 20-5 over the last two seasons, and there's been a resurgence and interest in the program. And then you have Chris Zimmerman and all that he's done as Blue CEO to fight cancer, and Ken Hitchcock, who, when you go into a Hall of Fame, you get honored with a Legends Award here, and he will bring the house down with his speech as well. And all the presenters, that makes part of it as well. So it really is special to see this group up here tonight. I'll have a little fun at the start, and then we'll get rolling.
All right, Tom, I'll let you get up there.
Thanks, buddy.
That's Tom Ackerman. He is our sports director, and you're going to hear from him coming up in just a few moments. Things are expected to get started at about 8 o'clock. That's going to do it for this portion of the evening. Thanks so much for being tuned in. Thanks to the MAC for having us out here. It is the Jack Buck Awards. It's on the way next right here on KMOX.